Well, I'm going to start this morning the message with a confession. I have to admit that as a young child, I didn't always do things the best way that I should. I didn't always listen to my parents the way I was supposed to. I didn't always have a good attitude. And while I'm emphasizing always, it would be nice if I did half the time even, but I won't go there. Sometimes I did things, I know it's hard for you to believe, that upset my parents. Yeah, it's not hard to believe at all. And I'm sure many of you have as well. But one thing I remember well, and this has always been important to me, that no matter how much I annoyed my parents on those, you know, rare occasions, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that my parents truly loved me unconditionally. In other words, my behavior didn't stop them from loving me. My behavior didn't stop them from embracing me and receiving me and loving me. In the Old Testament book of Zephaniah, there's a prophet who is giving the people of Judah a what for. You know, there were warnings, there's judgment, there's a description of the day of wrath and distress and anguish. There's going to be trouble and ruin. I mean, this is darkness and gloom. It's not a pretty picture in Zephaniah, and all of that is just in chapter 1. And it gets worse from there, and chapter 2 has nothing very positive and encouraging to say. But when we get to chapter 3, or at least the later part of it, the beginning describes a rebellious and defiled city, disobedience, no trust, just arrogance, treachery. I mean, it was not a very good place, and the result was going to be judgment. This is in Zephaniah, the prophet. Now, keep in mind that Zephaniah was a prophet about the same time when Josiah became king. And you might remember from previous messages that Josiah brought great reform to the country. He had brought beautiful changes, and he loved the Lord his God, and he did things that were so pleasing to God. But before Josiah became king, before him was Manasseh, and he had done more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any who had gone before him. Manasseh was a disaster. He was just a disaster. And so when Zephaniah comes along, he's prophesying during the early stages of Josiah's reign. I know it's a little confusing, all these names, but there's Manasseh, the king, and then there's Josiah. Manasseh was terrible. Josiah turned everything around, and just right in between there, in the beginning of Josiah, is when Zephaniah came. And Josiah hasn't really had the chance yet to really change things, and so things are a mess. And that's what the prophet Zephaniah is talking about. It's in that context of a mess that Zephaniah brings forward these warnings and judgments that are to come, and he calls the people to repent. But in the midst of all of this, there's a verse in Zephaniah that stands out, kind of like an olive branch, a small measure of hope in the midst of all that gloom. And by the way, if you're having trouble finding Zephaniah, you're not alone. Zephaniah is one of those minor prophets, and there's 12 minor prophets in the Old Testament, and the good thing is that they're all bunched together at the end of the Old Testament. So if you come up with a name that is really unfamiliar and you're not really sure, it could very well be one of the minor prophets. If you just go to Matthew and the New Testament and just back up from there, you'll find these minor prophets. And they're called minor simply because their writings are less. They're not great big works like Isaiah. So Zephaniah, I think the fourth last book of the Old Testament. So again, go to Matthew and back up a little bit. You'll get the Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and then Malachi. And this is what Zephaniah says in chapter 3, verse 17. He says, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." And when I read that and I consider the context in which it was written and everything that came before it, I'm thinking this is a breath of fresh air, a glimmer of hope in an otherwise discouraging message. There's going to be trouble. There's certainly going to be consequences because of the people's choices and actions. However, Zephaniah is saying, it's not going to be the end of you. And sometimes it feels like that for us when we are in a spot, when we are in a predicament and things are in a mess, and we think that this is going to be the end. That's it. There is just no way out of this. And I want to encourage you and remind you that there is a way out. Despite what they had done, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. It is absolutely glorious that God doesn't write us off. He doesn't. Sometimes a company will have to write off a bad debt. You know, somebody owes for so long, and yeah, and after a while you got to write it off because you know it's not coming. You write it off. And I want to say to you, God does not write off a bad debt. Instead, he pays for that debt with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. If the people received what they deserved, this is what that verse would look like. Now, this is not in your Bible. Okay, what I'm about to quote is not in the Bible, but this is what it would say if God did not respond, if God gave us what we deserve. This is what it would have said. The Lord your God has had enough of you. He will destroy you. He no longer wants to see your face. He is going to make you suffer and laugh when you finally cry out to him. The truth is, that is what we deserve. But that is not what we get. This is not what God is saying, and it's not what God is going to do. I'm just suggesting what it would sound like if God gave us what we deserve. Pretty grim, isn't it? Instead, Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ didn't wait for us to get it all, our act together, and say, okay, now I might, you know, think about blessing you, doing something for you. Instead of giving us what we deserve, God blesses us in ways beyond our imagination. And I like Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, because Zephaniah identifies some of the ways that God blesses us beyond what we deserve. First of all, God blesses us with his presence. He says, "The Lord your God is with you." And who hasn't felt like they don't deserve something good when they've messed up? One of the first things we think of when we go astray, when we do things wrong, is that God won't have anything more to do with me. God will abandon me. God is going to drop me and forget about me. And we forget, quickly we forget God's promise that he will never leave you or forsake you. In our minds, when we mess up, God is going to leave us because that's the way we would probably do things. If somebody messes up in your life, you're probably going to say, that's it, I've had enough. We love so long as we are loved back. We do this, we'll do this for you as long as you do this back in return for me. That's the way we think. I know we shouldn't think that way, but that's the way we often think. But God doesn't work that way. Even though we've messed, even though we've gone astray, the good news is God doesn't drop us. Psalm 139, verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. The Lord your God is with you. He is with your situation. He knows you. He knows what's going on. He's not going to leave you ever. God was with many people in the Old Testament and the New Testament too, of course. He blesses us with his presence. We don't deserve that. We certainly don't. But it's one of the blessings that Zephaniah identifies. The Lord your God is with you. Hold on to that thought. When you are discouraged, when you're going through a fiery trial, when you're feeling alone, when you're feeling like there's no hope, the Lord your God is with you. That doesn't mean that we can do things with reckless abandon and not have consequences. There are often consequences to the things that we do and the decisions we make. Consequences are there. It's true. But God is with you. The Lord your God is with you. And then it says God blesses us with his saving grace. He is mighty to save. To save is to preserve, to protect from harm, to keep you from getting lost, to make sure you get home safely. That's how I see that. He is mighty to save. And again, the message is the same. God's presence and his saving grace are so closely connected. Whatever you come up against today, whatever causes anxiety or fear, God is there with you. He is mighty to save. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. In Exodus chapter 14, the Israelites had left Egypt far behind. They had camped by the Red Sea. Pharaoh decides he's changed his mind. He sends hundreds of chariots after them. The Israelites are stuck. They're caught between the sea and the Egyptian army. They thought they were going to die. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, Moses answered the people. After they had asked them if there were not enough graves in Egypt, you know, that we had to come out here to die. Talk about sarcasm. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Oh, isn't that beautiful? You need only be still. The Lord Almighty, he is mighty to save. And as much as we love to be saved from physical harm, I want to stress how it's even more important that God saves us spiritually. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Even before Jesus was born, an angel said to Joseph, "You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." He is mighty to save. Save his people from their sins. Friends, whether we like to admit it or not, there is a disconnect between God and man. It's called sin. It's a sin problem that we have. When we look at our world today and the headlines that we hear or listen to and read, the problem is sin. It's a sin problem that we're facing. And I want to remind you that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is God's desire, to save us. Yes, from our sins. He doesn't save us from our sins by denying sin and the reality of sin and hiding sin or sweeping it under the rug or pretending it never happened. But he saves us from our sins when we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God blesses us with his presence, with his saving grace, and he blesses us, I like that next phrase, with his, I call it his satisfaction, his approval. It says, he will take great delight in you. Just think about that for a moment. We're talking about God taking great delight in you. There is nothing so sweet as to see a parent take delight in their child. As a child, I was blessed because my parents took delight in me, as messed up as I sometimes was. I sure enjoyed it. I was a recipient of that, and I'm so grateful for that. And of course, sadly, the reverse is also true. There is nothing more painful for a child than to have a parent who disdains him or her. I just want to throw a word of encouragement to parents. Be sure to let your children know that they are treasured, that you delight in them. What a thought. He will take great delight for you. That's how God looks at us. He delights in you. Think about that. You might not feel very lovable today. You might feel like you're not bringing delight to anyone. But you can. Psalm 147, verse 10 says, his pleasure, God's pleasure, is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. That's what brings delight to God, when we put our hope in his unfailing love. Beautiful scripture. And then lastly, it says, he will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The Lord blesses us with his love. What a picture this verse brings to mind. Imagine the God who created everything. He sees you, he knows you, he knows your predicament. He is well aware of your struggle. He knows what is bringing anxiety into your life. And the picture that this verse creates is one of God holding us, like a loving parent holds a distressed child. A child comes to a parent all twisted up in knots and frustrated and afraid and anxious or hurt in whatever way and is stressed out, and a parent embraces the child and holds the child and comforts the child with blessing and brings calmness and reassurance and comfort. And in at least a figurative way, that is what God is doing for us, offering us. He wants to comfort us, to bless us with his presence, to smile upon us, to lavish his love, and to sing to us while he holds us in his arms. Just picture that. Our fears, our anxieties, our frustrations can be calmed by God's love in our lives. But we need to go to him. We need to go to him. We need to call upon him. We need to receive him. We need to draw near to him. We need to just call out to him. In the physical world, in the physical realm, there are challenges and difficulties that we face every day. It is true. But on another level, God is holding you, loving you, smiling upon you, and delighting in you, cherishing you. And so I want to encourage you this morning. And I realize that there are times when we face very tough circumstances, when there is pain or loss, sorrow, confusion, bitterness, brokenness in many forms. But that is when we need to especially remember the reality of God's care and his presence. Instead of giving us what we deserve, God's word reminds us, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you today, and Lord, how much we need you. How greatly, Lord, we have come to places in our lives where the enemy would tell us, because of our own failings, because of our own decisions and sins, and Lord, that sometimes we feel like, we might feel like or believe that that's it. You'd have no part in our life anymore. And Lord, we know from your word that that is not true. That you do love us, that you do delight in us, that you do care for us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us, each one of us, whether we are here at the church or watching online, Lord, in our heart, Lord, to call out to you and to say, "Lord, I pray, I need you. Would you come into my life? Would you hold me as the prophet Zephaniah suggested? Would you carry me? Would you smile upon me? Lord, I give myself to you. I come to you as broken as I am, as troubled as I am. And Lord, not only for ourselves, but for our loved ones. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to put our loved ones in your hands, to know, Lord God, that you have your eye on them as well. And if they would just look to you, they too would receive the blessing of your grace, your salvation, your presence, your love, your smile upon them. And so, Lord, we commit these needs, these people, ourselves to you, and pray, Father, that you'd go with us, guide us in accordance to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.